Even after 20-odd years of ordained ministry, there are still times when I look at the reading set for the coming Sunday and think, oh, help. It may be that the passages are difficult to understand and I have to wrestle with their meaning. It may be that the meaning of the reading is pretty clear, but its message is so uncomfortable that I still think, oh, help. For my first Sunday with you here at St. Clement's, it might have made life a bit easier to have had a nice, simple, encouraging gospel reading to preach from. Instead, we have one of the more difficult, one of the more challenging bits of Jesus' teaching, one which sounds strange and almost alien to modern ears, a real, oh help, passage of scripture. It begins with the disciples asking Jesus, increase our faith. Now, if you were one of the disciples, how would you have expected him to respond? By giving you advice so that you could grow more faith? By helping you understand God better so that your faith could become deeper? Or by assuring you of God's love so that you would have fewer doubts? What do we get? None of these. Instead, Jesus gives his disciples an unexpected and not very comfortable illustration of what it means to have faith. He talks about a slave who has been working hard all day out in the fields. Dirty and weary, the slave comes home, but his work isn't finished yet. Before he can eat or rest, he has to serve his master's meal and do anything else his master tells him to do. And Jesus says that this, after all, is just what the slave should expect. He is just a slave, and therefore his master doesn't owe him any thanks or consideration. The slave must understand that doing all of this is simply his duty. Now, I think that this feels rather harsh to us nowadays, especially to those of us who don't even have any experience of having paid servants, let alone being familiar with the abhorrent concept of slavery. It doesn't somehow seem right that one person should work so hard and then be expected to wait on another person who probably hasn't been working very hard, if at all. So what's the point that Jesus is trying to make with this rather uncomfortable story? I'd like to suggest that the focus of this story is really on the slave, not the master. And the point is that nothing the slave does can place any obligations on his master. The slave can't earn his master's praise or oblige his master to repay him for his good work. That's not because the master is unkind or ungrateful, but simply because he doesn't owe the slave anything. After all, slaves have no rights, only the duty of service. What Jesus is doing is drawing an analogy between God and the master, between the slave and us. And it seems to me that the behavior Jesus is discouraging with this uncomfortable story is the idea that we can somehow earn God's approval, a piece of bad theology which is unfortunately very common. And the passage at the beginning of our gospel reading, which comes just before this story of the slave and the master, is one of the places that it's rather easy to acquire this kind of bad theology. Jesus says, as we heard, that if we had faith so small and weak that it only resembled the tiny mustard seed, we could still say to the most deep-rooted tree, pull yourself up by the roots and plant yourself in the sea, and the tree would do it. Listening to that, I think it can be only too easy somehow to assume that our faith controls God. That if we only have enough faith, God will have to do what we ask. And conversely, if our faith is weak, God will not respond. God won't do anything for us. Sadly, we tend, or at least I in my experience, have tended to come across this bad theology most of all when people are ill. If you have faith, you will be healed, we hear some Christians say. Or worse still, when prayer doesn't seem to be working and the sick person isn't improving, they blame a lack of faith. The assumption is that if Jesus says our little faith can move trees, then if we had any faith at all, we would certainly be healed. What people who say this fail to recognize is that if this were true, it would mean that we would be manipulating God. In other words, if I have enough faith, if you have enough faith, then God has to want to do what I or you want God to do. But that's not at all what Jesus is really saying. Jesus makes it quite clear that we are simply expected to have faith. In other words, that having faith is part of being a Christian, just like serving is part of being a slave. Our faith can't make God do anything. God doesn't heal us because we have faith. God heals us because God is God. God loves us simply because God chooses to love us. God's power is active in our lives and our world. God is always with us and gives us more than we can ask or deserve. Indeed, God sustains our very life and keeps the universe itself in being. And God does all this, but not because we have faith. God does it because it is God's very nature to love and to heal and to sustain life. Neither our faith nor our actions can earn us God's favor. Nor can our faith or our actions earn us salvation, and that's another very common misconception. Too many people believe that they must be good or do good in order to be saved. Or on the other hand, they believe, and I wish I had a pound for every time someone said this to me in my ministry, that their current or past behavior makes it impossible for them to be saved. Yet, and it's really important to hold on to this, yet there is nothing anyone can do to earn salvation. For salvation is a free gift offered to us by Christ through his life and death and resurrection. Just as God's love is a free gift offered to us with no requirements or obligations. God simply is love. And Christ's life, death, and resurrection have already saved us. Nothing we can do, no amount of faith we can somehow generate, makes God love us more or makes us more saved. Because being saved is already a done deal, an accomplished fact, and all we have to do is to respond to God's action in and through Christ. Yes, as Christians, we are called to a life of faith, but not in order to get anything from God. Rather, we're called to that life of faith in grateful response to God's loving action towards us. We're called to have faith not to get God to love us or to heal us or to get Christ to save us. We are called to have faith because God loves and heals us. We are called to have faith because Christ has saved us. Our faith doesn't need to impress God or anyone else. Our faith simply needs to respond to what God has given us and to be lived out in lives of loving service to others, service which doesn't look for either recognition or thanks. So the next time you worry about whether you have enough faith, start comparing your faith unfavorably with that of other people, stop and get in touch with God's love for you. Remember that Christ's life and death and resurrection have already won eternal life for you. Become aware of all the gifts God has given you and know that you are infinitely loved. Then respond to God's love with thankfulness and love in return. That is your faith. That is my faith, our faith. Even if it were no bigger than the tiny mustard seed the children were shown, that faith can transform you and the world. For St. Paul reminds us in one of my favorite passages from Ephesians, God working through us, through you, through me, can do more than we can ever ask or imagine. Amen.